Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we are going to study the subject of spiritual tests. Each day this week, we will take a look at a different spiritual test that every believer will eventually face as they walk through their Christian life. A test is given by a teacher to a group of students to determine whether the information that has been taught has been retained by those students. When God allows a test to come into your life, it is not because He's desiring that you fail the test. On the contrary, God desires that we pass every spiritual test that we are confronted with as we walk in our Christian life. A spiritual test will reveal how much of the Word of God you have taken to heart, how much of God's Word you really believe, and just how much of God's Word you've allowed to shape and operate and define your life. Every test that you'll ever encounter will have to do with the Word of God. The test will reveal, do you really believe God's Word? Do you really do God's Word? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we find this statement about spiritual testing, specifically the faith test. It says in verse 6 and 7, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Sometimes our faith, which is our ability to trust and rely upon God and His Word, is tested by the fire of circumstances. Again, God doesn't allow tests so that you will fail or be tripped up by them. He allows tests to reveal to us what is our true position with regard to God's Word. God isn't looking for information when He allows a test in our life. He is allowing us to receive revelation of where we are in our walk with God and in maturity in the things of God. James 1, verses 2 and 3 tells us, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." The testing of your faith are circumstances that come your way that will challenge what you know and believe about God's promises to you from His Word. God promises, for example, throughout His Word, that He will be your provider. He will take care of you. He'll give you every good thing for life and godliness. He'll provide all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There are promises for provision in the Word, but oftentimes we may encounter severe tests, which is something that will try to determine whether we really believe God's Word about provision, for example. You may encounter a situation that looks very dramatic, as if there is no provision and there's no provision forthcoming that will take care of the situation you're facing. That is a faith test. You are being tested in the area of your faith, your ability to trust and rely upon God and His Word. Will you pass the faith test? That all depends upon you and where you are in relationship to your growth and maturity in God. Abraham faced a severe test of faith, a faith test that stands out in biblical history and biblical literature as one of the most challenging moments for a man of faith. It says in Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. In Hebrews 11:17, it says this about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. And it goes on to say that Abraham believed that God was even able to raise Isaac from the dead if necessary in order to keep his promise that Isaac, his heir, would become the vehicle through which Abraham would have descendants that numbered as great as the stars of the heavens and the sand of the seashore. Abraham experienced the faith test. He had been given a promise from God regarding Isaac, and then he was also given an instruction from God that looked like it would destroy the promise, that it would cause the promise to never come to pass. This happens to every believer. God gives you promises in His Word about your provision, about your protection, about your future. And then circumstances come your way that make it appear as if God's promise will not come true. It will never happen, or it will remove the promise that maybe you're living in and experiencing right now. God wants you to pass the faith test because He is faithful who promised. But God wants us to know in our own hearts that we are able to trust and rely upon God and that He is faithful. But only through the faith test do we find out if we truly believe God and His Word. One of my favorite illustrations of a person experiencing the faith test has to do with a man by the name of Rhys Howells. He was a Welsh man from Wales, who lived in the late 1800s and the first part of the 1900s, and he and his wife were preparing to go to Africa as missionaries. They had trained in the medical field and were prepared by a mission organization to go to Africa to live on the mission field. After their training was completed and they were ready to set sail, they had to take a trip from their home in Wales to London and then board a ship before going to Africa. About a week before they sailed, they had received money that should have paid their expenses to London, but they needed to obtain some supplies that they would need to take with them on the mission field. And so they used the money in that way. Mr. Rhys Howells said, "There's always a tendency to keep money so as to get out of God's testings, and we tried our best to do it at this time. Anyway, we had to spend the money, and all the people of the place thought we were well supplied. So we were up till that week, and we thought money would be sure to come the day before we had to leave for London. But the last mail came, and there was no money, and our train was leaving before the mail the next day. We thought it would be very hard to say goodbye, but the burden for the train money made it much easier. The next morning, it was not so hard to part with our parents because we had to walk to the station without the money. We felt sure it would come to us on the station platform, but no, the time came for the train to leave, and what were we to do? There was only one thing possible. We still had 10 shillings, and we must go as far as we could with it, then our extremity would be God's opportunity. We had to change trains at Lanelly Station about 20 miles from our home and wait there for a couple of hours. So without letting anyone know, we only booked our train ticket as far as that. There were many people at our home station wishing us all good things, but what we needed was money to go to London. Many also came with us as far as the Lanelly station, singing all the way. And the thought came to me, I'd sing a lot better if I had the money. We went out to breakfast with some friends at the Lanelly station and then walked back to the train station, still not delivered. And now the time came for the train. The Holy Spirit then spoke to me and said, If you had the money, what would you do? Take my place in the queue at the booking office, I said. Well, are you not preaching that my promises are equal to current coin? You had better take your place in the queue. So there was nothing I could do but obey. There were about a dozen people before me. There they were passing by the booking office one by one. The devil kept telling me, now, you only have a few people in front of you, and when your turn comes, you'll have to walk through. You have preached much about Moses and the Red Sea in front and the Egyptians behind, but now you're the one who is shut in. Yes, shut in, I answered, but like Moses, I shall be gloriously let out. So when there were only two people in front of me, a man stepped out of the crowd and said, I'm sorry, I can't wait any longer. I must open my shop. He said goodbye and put 30 shillings into my hand. It was the most glorious and only a foretaste of what the Lord was going to do in Africa if we would obey. After I had the train tickets, the people who came with us to the train began to give gifts to us, but the Lord had held them back until we had been tested. We were singing all the way to London. The faith test will come to every believer because God wants us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can trust and rely upon Him, and He is faithful who promised. When you face the faith test, when it looks like the Word of God, the promise of God to you will not and is not and will never come to pass, you must by faith step out as if you believed with all of your heart that God will come through in the end, because He certainly will. He wants you to pass the faith test.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com, or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.